This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
I can't imitate reverb. I can only do Manuel Delay. I've had to do that in recording sessions, right? Where, like, you know, the studio you're working in is low budget. It's only got one rack mount delay for vocals, and, like, it goes on the fritz. And so you're like, well, we got to get this session done, and artist really wanted to have this delay effect at the end of this one part, so let's just get them to record it a few times. We'll double it up and throw some reverb on it, and you know, we'll create the effect of delay by just making a guy do multiple takes, molting it all together, and throw some reverb on it. And it was effective. Like, I don't think anyone ever noticed, but we knew.
Yeah.
And that's the difference between a technician and an engineer. Right, the technician just knows how to turn the knobs. An engineer knows how to get something out of stuff that has no business giving you that output. So, at any rate, it is Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160. In the studio, it's
Nikki
and Mark
and the Captain. This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Rising fees have made Bitcoin useless for purchases, but Dash continues to have fees less than 1 cent per transaction, and its features ensure Dash is undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace. From a tech standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible, and the network is protected from 51% attacks by their chain locks technology. There's no need to wait for a confirmation before considering a Dash transaction complete, so it's great for merchants. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and easy to use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. Big thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. You can visit Dash.org to learn all about Dash. That's Dash.org. All right. So we kind of, you know, we talked about the Thobo thing. We kind of, you know, got into rock and roll isms for a while. We just happen to have a story that is rock and roll oriented. It is about the infamous, if you will, Alice Cooper. Mm. And he's had fame, of course, and he's an old school recording artist.
Yeah.
So he made money back in the day, enough to be well respected amongst his peers and amongst rock and roll, and a well known name.
He's got his own radio show too.
He does, his own podcast as well, which I think is just one and the same, kind of like we do here. We turn our show into a podcast or whatever.
Yeah, because I didn't hear about the podcast.
Makes sense.
That's cool.
So he is, if for folks who don't know who Alice Cooper is, one of the originators of something called shock rock, right? Back in the day in radio, you heard of shock jocks. These were jocks who would be way too zany and, like, you know, maybe say things that had never been said on radio before, irking, like, conservatives and, you know, all sorts of other people. Alice Cooper was of that ilk as well. He would put on what I call a rock opera, a horror rock stage show. So his stage show would feature things like a fake guillotine beheading, right? These were, like, you know, sort of his closers, right? Yeah. At the end of the show, this thing, you know, he goes, he puts on a show. The show has all sorts of, like, bit actors that come out and do things. So it's very, you know, it tells a story. It sows seeds of a story throughout the show. And then it has some big sort of shocking ending at the end of the show that made the kids go wild and, you know, irked the parents.
There was also the biting the head off of a bat. Remember this one?
That was Ozzy.
Yeah.
You know, whoever did it. But, yeah, it was this thing that, like, we were just shocked.
Yeah, sniffing the line of ants. That was a good one, too, that Ozzy did.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that, like, a lot of Ozzy's behaviors was definitely drug-induced.
Oh.
Some of that encouragement.
Yeah. But there was this sort of...
that guy could barely talk, 20 years ago when he was...
Before the advent of the series of movies called Jackass...
Yep.
Where basically they try to out-stunt themselves. Right?
Yeah, that was rock and roll back in the day.
Back in the day was this series of people trying to outdo each other for the most publicity.
Yeah.
Right? They would put on stunts like biting a bat's head.
Yeah,
right?
People that were just notorious for trashing hotels and...
Chucking TVs out windows and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, even Jimi Hendrix in the 60s was setting his guitar on fire, that's rock and roll, baby.
Yeah. So Alice Cooper is that old. He comes from, he was putting records out in the 70s.
Yeah. Don't let the black hair fool you. It's dye.
Oh, yeah.
But
it looks it. I mean, he is...
Oh, yeah. He's definitely aged.
Like he's been rode hard and hung up wet.
Yeah. And you know what I like about Alice Cooper is the creativity with it. Like, there's rock and roll stunts just, like, spontaneously doing crazy stuff or destroying property. That's actually kind of really not cool, actually. But when it comes to Alice Cooper shows, I mean, I've seen Alice Cooper recently within the past, like, 6 or 7 years, and he's still doing the theatrics.
Right.
But, you know, it kind of similar to Guar. We love bringing up Guar on this show.
We do. I do.
But, it's planned out... And it's, it's not, like, super intricate, but it has that aspect of, it being...
Yeah, they have... Alice Cooper, much like Guar, features practical special effects, right?
Yes.
There'll be fake blood or, something draining from somewhere, whether it's, like, oil or blood or something along those lines. Usually something related to, like... A horror story, right?
Yes.
Alice Cooper likes to spin horror stories, whereas Guar are supposedly intergalactic aliens who have come to Earth just to have fun while Earth sort of implodes upon itself thanks to mankind.
But a lot of people go to the Guar show because they're like, I want to be front row with my white t-shirt. They want to get soaked. Like, that's part of the allure. And, I mean, Alice Cooper, I mean, Kiss was doing a lot of special effects.
Yep.
Back in the day.
The face makeup and all that kind of stuff. Very Kiss era.
A lot of these acts were kind of, it was an act.
Yeah.
It wasn't just the rock and roll music. Like, it was a show, and that's why people were going to see. Nowadays, you don't always get that with a lot of artists.
Right.
You might have Taylor Swift dancing on stage with her guitar in a little, like, sequence, leotard thing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you're not getting the really, like, interesting theatrics.
Right.
Yeah, and you're paying way more for it.
Yeah, there's a lot more competition back in the day. And I got to wonder, touring and making music are two totally different things these days.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, the business has changed so much since I cared about the music business, 20 years ago, that I don't even know how they do make money now.
Yeah, no, I mean, I put out a 3-song EP on the 4th of July. I'm sorry, Independence Day. Independence Day, not the 4th of July. I mean, you might think they're the same thing. I just like to call it one over the other. I knew going into it that I'm never going to recoup my money, right? I did independent local bands for 22 years out in the Seattle area where, there is an audience and there are people, that kind of a thing. Putting a thing out online without, a tour behind it, is a risky proposition as is. But I didn't do it necessarily for the accolades or the money or whatever. I did it because it's just an extension of me and who I am in bringing the message of peace and freedom and philosophy. I also feel like there's definitely a vacancy within, we'll call it libertarianism, voluntarism, people of the freedom mind. There's a vacancy in the rock and roll and heavy metal department.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? There's country artists, there's folk artists.
Yeah,
there's
you've got some like the hippie music too.
You've got some like rap and R&B stuff going on, right? Like these types of acts exist and they have, we'll say libertarian-esque messages in their music. And I was like, there aren't really a lot of metal bands that fall into that category.
Which is surprising.
Yeah.
I mean, but that used to be the punk thing.
Right.
Right? Like earlier metal-ish music was more anarchist.
Right. Yeah.
Leaning.
Or at least anti, right? It was always...
It's anti, definitely.
Yes,
yeah,
anti-something.
A rebellious... Yeah, they were rebelling against something, insert topic du jour, right?
Well,
but they were always about, no, screw that, man. That's not the way you do it,
They're appealing to teenagers who know they don't like the way things are done. They just don't know the best way to do it. And so anti really works for them.
So as the rebellious form of popular music, rock and roll, that is, and then, you know, metal, of course, within that, punk rock, you know, there's all sorts of subgenres. Alice Cooper was frowned upon by parental units the world over.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I remember being denied permission to go see Alice Cooper, not because I wasn't, like, old enough to go to a concert or whatever, just because my parental units hated that.
Yeah. Do you know, allegedly, where he came up with the name Alice?
I am not familiar. Is there a story
behind it? It's not, I don't know the whole story, but based on what I've heard, he picked Alice Cooper because it sounded like not what he actually would be. You know, like you hear, you know, like Slayer.
Yep.
You're like, okay, yeah, that sounds that a little
sounds like a metal band.
Sounds right. Like a metal band, sounds like mildly satanic, whatever. But Alice Cooper sounds like it could be like
Taylor
a nice
Swift.
Woman. Right, yeah, exactly.
Mom, Dad, I'm going to see Alice Cooper today.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
That sounds wholesome.
Yeah, exactly. So then the kids would go, and it's like, you know, there's blow-up dolls on stage,
right.
And a guillotine, and all of these things. Yeah. And it's like, this is Alice?
So Alice Cooper wears face makeup, kind of in the style of like a Kiss face makeup, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
He's one of the OG face painters, if you will, and has had the same look forever.
Yeah.
And because he is a rock and roll icon, of course, at some point, he ended up with a cosmetics deal. Now, musicians will talk about all the time, like, yeah, dude, I got endorsed by this drumstick company, so now they just send me free sticks whenever they make some new ones, and I get to try them out and whatever. Same thing happens to the guitar player. It's like, oh, man, I got endorsed by a string company or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Alice Cooper got a cosmetics deal because he was like, I will use your makeup, I will endorse your makeup, I will advertise your makeup, and you will pay me money for it.
Yep.
Well, no longer. Vampire, with a Y, V-A-M-P-Y-R-E, Vampire Cosmetics. Has announced, this is August 25th, has just announced their collaboration with Alice Cooper due to his transphobic remarks. So they're ending their relationship on August 25th.
As soon as they say transphobic remarks, I know that the next thing that follows is going to be a series of gibberish.
Yeah.
Let's find out. On August 25th, a statement was released from the brand's IG page. I don't know what IG means.
Instagram.
Oh, thank you. So I thought they were referring to some department within the company or something like
nope.
You know, public relations or something. Here's the quote. In light of recent statements by Alice Cooper, we will no longer be doing a makeup collaboration. We stand with all members of the LGBTQIA+ community and believe...
That's the gibberish.
And believe everyone should have access to health care. All pre-order sales will be refunded.
Spoiler alert, nothing Alice said had anything to do with denying people health care or even, I would argue what he said wasn't even transphobic.
I'm assuming the question everybody wants to know is, what the heck did he actually say?
I think I know I read it when it came out, and I think I know what it is.
Before we get there, the LGBT-owned Vampire Cosmetics had already launched pre-sales for Alice Cooper's collection on August 14th, and on their website, they explained that the collection will carry both physical and trend-wise characteristics of Alice. This collection will exude Alice's style and feature guitar and amplifier-shaped makeup palettes, microphone-styled lipsticks, and a major highlight for Alice Cooper and makeup fans to look forward to is a new version of Alice Cooper's iconic Whiplash mascara. In the interview that ended it all, he described transgender as fad and stated that it is detrimental to teach children and teens about the gender spectrum. Here's the quote. I'm understanding that there are cases of transgender, but I'm afraid that it's also a fad, and I'm afraid there's a lot of people claiming to be this just because they want to be that. I find it wrong when you've got a 6-year-old kid who has no idea, he just wants to play, and you're confusing him by telling him, yeah, you're a boy, but you could be a girl if you really want to be. I think that's so confusing to a kid, it's even confusing to a teenager. You're still trying to find your identity, and yet here's this thing going on saying, yeah, but you can be anything you want. You can be a cat if you want to be. That's the quote.
I think, well, for one, they have catkin is one of the genders. So this isn't some kind of argumentum ad absurdum here where, you know, some conservative says, I want to be an Apache attack helicopter, which, you know, I guess if you can be a cat, you can be an attack helicopter, but whatever.
Right.
And I used to do a shtick here on the show where I did, I'm intergalactic space king. Yeah. I'm a transmonarchist. I identify as your ruler. And
transmonarchist.
If you don't agree with my gender identity, which is your ruler, you suck. You're a bad person. And I thought it was insightful or whatever. I can see how, like, somebody might. A person might be a woman entrapped in a man's body or vice versa. I get that. But I can't get the rest of this. The whole...
It's gone too far.
Right. I mean...
Like, and I think some of it does stem from mental illness. And we're seeing a lot of teenagers who are confused. I mean, like he said, being a teenager is hard, especially if you're going to public school and it's just getting worse with social media and, like, all of these things that...
Your entire life on camera all the time.
As having a teenager, I'd like to stop down and say one for a second.
Yeah.
Being a teenager, at least being a teenager of the teenagers that I've met recently, is easy as hell. However, they've got all kinds of chemicals going through their heads that makes life hard. And in fact, their easy lives make it harder to be a teenager because they're not worried about the basics like... People in foreign countries are like, how am I going to make some money so I can eat later on today?
Right.
And that kind of thing.
No, and I do think that's a great point. And I think a lot of what's going on in high schools and colleges these days is, like, this is the new cool thing. When I was in school, it was, like, cool to be bisexual. Like, oh, yeah, I'm bisexual, whatever. Turns out most of those people weren't actually bisexual. Maybe they were experimenting with, you know, the same gender. I mean, like, that's definitely
possible.
So
I'm trying
to
relate that to, like, Gen X school. So you're saying that it would be a trend, much like people who wanted to be a break dancer.
Yeah.
Like, there was a point in school where, like, they called an assembly and they brought in some breakdancers. And the next day, everybody dressed up as breakdancers. I don't know where they got the money and how they got their parents to go shopping for them overnight or whatever. Right? But, like, the next day, everybody was a freaking breakdancer.
And that is not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, that is teenagers experimenting and, you know, trying to find their identity. So I don't think necessarily, like... A child or a teenager being like, oh, I think I might be the opposite gender and exploring transgenderism. I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing, but I do think it's important for parents to not, or teachers, whatever, to not lock children into that and be like, okay, well, I'm going to revolve everything around my 5-year-old being transgender now, because they could change their mind. It could be a little boy who's just playing dress up or whatever. And I think it's really important that we remember that children are children. Teenagers are still trying to figure themselves out.
Yeah. What I think this stems from is a lack of trusted guidance. And I don't mean trusted by the parents. I don't mean trusted by the teacher. I mean trusted by the children. Right? Children lack guidance that they trust to, like, you know, not bring harm upon them, not bring down the ire of their teachers or their parents, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, people that they can talk to go, man, I'm confused right now. I don't know what's going on, you know, and lay out their problems, that kind of thing. So, like, assistance needs to be made available for these children, right, to help them with that. And is it a failure of the schools, a failure of the parents? Probably both.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever the solution is, I think that teenagers just lack trustable people to talk to so that they can work through these problems.
Yeah, and I think in regards to, like, young children, like 5-year-olds, I do think it is a little confusing for them. I don't think, like, we need to go to, like, the conservative extreme, like, oh, we need to, like, protect them from, like, gay people and all of this stuff. Like, I don't, like, I think it's okay to maybe introduce these concepts to young children, but it is confusing for you to be like, oh, yes, you're a little boy, but you could be a little girl, especially if the child isn't even saying anything like that. It's like, okay, we're going a little too far. We don't even need to say that to them. Because it is confusing.
I think a lot of people likely intend to be helpful, right? The teachers, the, you know, the parents or the tutors or the counselors, whatever. They intend to be helpful, but they have to be very careful that their help doesn't turn into a shove in a particular direction, right? Because it needs to, like, choice is what freedom is all about, right? And as a parent, you have say over what your children's choices are until you don't, right? Now, that happens at different ages for different people, right? Some teenagers will never grow up, right? And there's 35-year-olds in their basement right now, right, who kind of never grew up, right? But then there's 12-year-olds who are uber-responsible and, like, you know, sore thumb in their class because no one else is like them, right? So it really has to be the choice of the individual, and I caution people making permanent choices when they're young, because you have to live with that for the rest of your life.
I think that it's interesting that somewhere in the late 1800s, we outlawed the castrati. These were people who were eunuchs. They were boys who sang well, and it was decided, well, we'll just cut off their gonads, and that way they'll be able to sing this beautiful way.
Right.
And there's recordings. You can hear, like, the last castrati. It was an old man as he was singing, but it was really kind of interesting.
He had the high voice.
Right. He had the high voice.
It's the cliche, right?
And where we wouldn't now allow, if a young, you know, one of the Mormon choir there, he says, you know what, I want to be a castrati. I want to be a modern-day castrati. No way would we let that kind of thing go on.
Right.
But if he says, it hits, maybe. I think I might be a girl.
I mean,
whap.
Society,
take them off in a second.
Society still allows circumcision.
Yeah, I mean, right. is that also genital mutilation, technically?
That's exactly what it is, right? By any definition.
Yeah. 2 minutes, and you want to do it. So here we go.
I got strong opinions about this, so.
Circumcision is a medical procedure for a set of problems, illnesses, that probably is not needed, but I don't think that anybody who chooses to do it, as long as they choose to do it with some kind of foresight, that's a problem. I don't think you should do circumcision for cosmetic reasons. The same reason I don't think you should do cosmetic work on your kids at all.
I'm against
piercing ears.
I don't think circumcision should be allowed until consent.
There was a case, I will just really quickly, I had a client who there was a medical reason they didn't circumcise their child.
Yep.
Child became 2 years old, and then a medical reason developed.
Yep.
Where it was, like, legit, the kid needed to be circumcised.
But that should be the exception.
Right? Yes.
That should be, like, the extreme
case. I've only heard of that happening
case,
once.
Right, that a child is mutilated in that way, in my opinion. Now, if somebody reaches, you know, some of these religions, they have a confirmation or something like that around 15, 14, 16 years old, somewhere in that pocket. If the religion considers that the age of consent, right, then perhaps that's when that individual is presented, hey, sometimes people in our religion do this thing where, you know, we cut off the foreskin.
Really?
That's what they do. They go, really? Like, why would I want to do that? They're like, well, it's a tradition of ours, or it started as a, you know, thing, or we thought it would prevent some diseases or whatever.
So Jews generally do circumcision at near birth. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's within days.
Well, yeah, so do Christians, near as I can tell.
Well, only Christians in the U.S.
603-283-6160. We apparently have more to talk about regarding this topic. Coming up here on Free Talk Live, plus maybe we'll talk more about Alice Cooper and take some of your calls. It's Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
You USA News update. As the United Auto Workers strike continues, UAW President Sean Fain says that progress has been slow as the two sides continue to meet. Fain telling MSNBC that General Motors, Ford, and Stellantis should have taken the UAW's advice regarding negotiations earlier on.
It's a shame that the companies didn't take our advice and get down to business from the beginning of bargaining back in mid-July.
The government may shut down as lawmakers need to fund it before the end of this month. Republican Congressman Mike Turner from Ohio tells CBS's Face the Nation that he's optimistic that they will be able to find a solution and is putting his faith in House Speaker Kevin McCarthy to get the job done.
They expect bipartisan solutions. Kevin has led in delivering those.
Tim Berg, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendovite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendovite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and Extendovite is all natural. Extendovite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendovite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
And we're back. Yes, we are. It is Free Talk Live. The Sunday night edition. The telephone number here in the studio is 603-283-6160. In the studio, it's me, Captain.
It's me, Nikki.
And me, Mark Edge.
Before we go on with the show, I want to say thank you to Troy Schultz. Troy Schultz is tonight's amplifier. Troy Schultz is a silver level amplifier. That means Troy gives $5 a month to the Amplifier Program. What's the Amplifier Program, Mark?
The Amplifier Program is a program where you, the listener, can help us to advertise, market, and promote Free Talk Live. It's the AMPS program in this case, and support is what we've added to it. You just go to amps.freetalklive.com. I'll bet you amp.freetalklive.com goes to the same place.
It probably does.
And you can donate between, you know, $1 and $25 a month, I believe.
I think it's $5 is the minimum. And
I think it's
ten and 25. There's different levels, and you get different perks for whatever the level is, little benefits to being an amplifier. We're on something like 180 radio stations or so. We could be on 200, 250, 300 radio stations, not out of the question. If you want to help spread the message of peace, liberty, freedom, and prosperity, you enjoy the hosts, the co-hosts, the topics that we bring, the callers that we have, please consider supporting Free Talk Live over at amps.freetalklive.com. Thank you again to Troy Schultz. We appreciate you. All right. So, circumcising babies.
Yeah. Opened up this can of worms.
During the break, we were discussing this, and I'll just quickly recap. I was reading medical arguments that say that if there was any medical benefit to circumcising children, that benefit has expired thanks to, you know, modern medicine. So any westernized area that is, you know, has modern medicine available to it, whether it's in a socialist form or, you know, somewhat capitalist form, that as long as they have that available to them, the dangers of any medical things arising from a lack of circumcision are irrelevant. Save for some fringe cases here and there, somebody develops something, and maybe it's the best medical idea to go ahead and get it done at that point. So I maintain that taking a knife to a child that is not able to reason, discern, make a choice, is a violation of the NAP.
You skipped the part.
What?
They tie him down first.
Of course.
You don't want him moving.
Yeah, that's true.
But Mark seems to disagree.
Yeah, I disagree. So the NAP is?
The non-aggression principle.
Yeah, it means that you shall not initiate violence against another human. Initiate meaning that violence is acceptable if that human aggresses against you.
Self-defense.
In self-defense, right, yes.
And some people will stipulate the non-aggression principle only applies to adults. So, now... The question, the relationship between child and parent is highly unique.
It is.
And a parent needs to be able to make a decision. I'd like to point out that there used to be a operation that was matter of course for our age group back when you and I were young.
Yep.
You may not even have your tonsils.
I still do, actually.
Okay.
But it was very, very common for them to be removed.
I don't know what they are.
Yeah.
But today... We have decided that we don't need to remove tonsils as a matter of course. The kid gets a sore throat, you don't need to take tonsils out. Now, for whatever reason, I never got my tonsils taken out. I had plenty of sore throats as a kid.
That's interesting that you and I both have our tonsils.
Yeah, but I'll bet you the majority of our contemporaries do not.
Nikki, do you have tonsils?
I do, yes. Okay. Tonsils
were,
are...
Were kids getting their tonsils removed when you were growing up in school and stuff like that?
Not as common when I was... I think that, like, just was stopping once I was a kid.
Okay.
And they're part of the lymphatic system, from what I know.
Yeah.
So there's some similar but different to lymph nodes. So when you get sick, you know, your lymph nodes get kind of inflamed.
Because
that's what is filtering through. You know, that's your body's immune system. Like, that's part
right.
of it. So I think that's where it was. Like, if you were getting infections in the tonsils, to just remove them.
Yeah.
But
so we don't call that throat mutilation.
Well, but we're also not performing it on a baby.
Well, you're performing it on a young person who doesn't get to make any more of a decision about it.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay.
You know, does it make a difference if they're 6 or 8 or whatever the age was for tonsils generally to come out, and your parents say...
But it's generally explained to the child that this is what's going on, and the child understands.
They don't have an option. The choice was not on the table.
Okay.
It's not a perfect analogy, Captain. Few analogies are.
Sure.
Yeah.
What the point I'm trying to make is that these people were doing the best with what they had at the time. People were making money on tonsil operations.
Sure, yeah.
You know, there's probably a doctor out there, I made millions in tonsils, you know, and now we don't do it because we've learned better.
Well, I mean, at one point people were doing bloodletting, you know, like that was a
right.
very, very common medical practice
as
a few hundred years ago.
The President Garfield is dead because of it.
There's people who still do that, by the way.
Yeah, I've heard of this. Yeah.
And
or the leeches, they'll use the leeches too. Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff.
And I'd be willing to bet that there are parents out there that are still getting tonsils taken out of their kids. Maybe 1 out of 1,000. I'm just guessing a number here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying I can stop anybody from doing whatever the heck it is. I'm just saying that it's wrong.
I hear you, and I am against generally the notion of circumcision. And I would go so far as to say it is not a violation of the NAP because a NAP, the non-aggression principle, requires that you, I mean, to aggress against your child. Everybody's doing what they do for the best, for their best reasons, whatever those reasons are.
I mean, like, is child abuse then not a NAP violation?
Well, it depends on what you consider child abuse. If somebody's getting drunk and beating their kid,
I consider taking a knife to a baby's genitals child abuse.
Well, taking a knife to their throat is what?
It's also child abuse.
Okay.
Or if, like, I mean, I understand that, like, medical technology progresses, medical knowledge progresses, right? I get that, right? But, like, if tonsillitis no longer results in you getting your tonsils removed, then for the same reason that a tonsillectomy is no longer performed, circumcision should also no longer be performed.
I would agree with that statement. I think that as a lay person, I am generally against circumcision. I think that it should be an operation that is done after that we are certain that there is a medical need for it.
Yeah.
However, I understand that people's threshold for a medical need is different than my own, and I am not willing to shun parents who have chosen that threshold. Now, I am willing to go to a point, right, and pressure parents sort of socially and say, hey, you know, you probably don't need that.
Right.
And it's probably better if you don't. And here's the thing that never gets talked about because America doesn't like to talk about things like this on the radio or on television is the bend. Okay? The organ, we'll call it the organ, the male organ.
It's a hard subject to talk about.
Of most circumcised men has bend to it because nothing's perfect in this world. And there's a little bit of pressure on one side, a little bit tighter on one side than it is on the other.
Right.
And you get this bowing
on. Are you trying to say that maybe there was a reason that the foreskin was on there in the first place?
I think that I think generally, but why are the tonsils there? Why is the appendix there? It's certainly what would we call vestigial things in the body. I don't know, and I
wouldn't
say. Yeah,
we kind of evolved from needing it. Well, the big reason why circumcision became really popular for other reasons that weren't religious was to prevent or discourage masturbation.
Yep, specifically.
Spoiler alert. Didn't work.
Yeah. I don't know how. Like, I think that it became part of American society. So Americans are unique. Europeans who have similar biology to, to similar genetics to Americans, they don't do this.
Now, there's going to be religions out there that are like, well, this is part of our religion and our tradition.
Yeah.
If you want to make that decision voluntarily, right, when you are able to reason, right, whatever age that occurs at for you or whatever your religion recognizes that, and you can look at the information and make a decision for yourself, and you decide, hey, you know what, I'm part of this religion, this is what they do, I'm going to get this done, right? I have no problem with that. That's completely voluntary. You're harming no one except possibly yourself, right? And because it's going to hurt, right?
Yeah.
Getting a tattoo hurts, right? You wait until consent for people to get tattoos, right? So why not wait for consent? If there's no medical reason for it to be done to every baby that's born in whatever hospital, like on a mass scale, right? Because that's how it was done, right? If there's no more reason
pretty close to that still.
For it to be done, then why do it?
Do you know why parents do it? Do you know the top two reasons why parents circumcise their children?
First one is they want the son to look like the dad.
Which is super creepy.
Down there.
I'm sorry, right? That's so creepy. And the second reason is because they don't want them to be bullied in school. I'm sorry, more likely than not, if you send your kid to public school or even a private school, they're probably going to get bullied for one reason or another.
Yep.
And it's probably 50-50 at this point, because African Americans don't do this at the rate that...
Yeah. And, you know, I will tell you...
Latinos.
I attend a lot of births, a lot of home births. Most of those people don't circumcise their children, but I also support women in the hospital setting as well. So a lot of those people are doing most of the standard medical procedures. They're not really like the crunchy hippie types. They're just kind of doing whatever their doctor says. And I will tell you, a lot more people are not circumcising their sons. I would say like most of the gentlemen my age are probably all circumcised in the United States. No, I don't want to say all, but like a high percentage. It's very, very
still,
common.
Right.
More common than not. And I think that is definitely changing. Just because the information is out there, it was just the thing that you did. People didn't really question a lot of things. And as, with the internet, people are seeing stuff on Facebook like, oh, I never thought of it ethically, or I didn't think of it that way. Whatever, they're receiving this information, and they're starting to make different decisions.
So, Captain, I agree. I think that it is not necessary. It shouldn't be just a matter of course. You shouldn't just do it.
Right.
However, I will stop at parents. Parents should be able to make this decision for whatever crazy reason they want, whether it's religion or, you know, like they're super clean freaks or whatever their thing is. I think parents should be able to do it, and here's why. Because in Europe, they've outlawed the cropping of ears and the docking of tails on dogs.
Like the Dobermans and all that stuff?
Yeah. So, I mean, lots of dogs have cropped ears in some manner, and the Cagne Corso has very close cropped ears.
I was just relating it to something.
Yep. And one thing I'll say about cropped ears is, those dogs almost never get ear infections. Floppy-eared dogs, much more common to get ear infections. I've had both, and the floppy-eared dogs get the ear infections. You got to take care of that.
So your reason is because children are dogs?
I think the difference between pets and babies is vanishingly small. If you've had a baby, it's not even a good pet. It's a lot of work, and you know the difference is it grows into a human. Whereas, you know, fortunately, dogs and cats don't.
I mean,
they just stay the same way.
It sounds messed up, but that's actually a really good analogy.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like, yeah.
I don't want to get in people's business.
Okay, so when you go out and get a brand new puppy,
uh-huh.
Right? Do you have the puppy circumcised?
I don't.
I don't.
Why
know
not?
If they
don't
have that.
They don't have a foreskin.
I don't think they have.
They got something different. But I do dock ears, and see, my mother, who is a longtime delegate to the American Kennel Club, is been a Doberman lady my whole life. I've got a dog, or at least he thinks he's my dog. He's owned by different people, and it's a really convoluted situation.
Sure.
Nonetheless, he's got cropped ears and a dock tail. Now, I didn't make the decision. But he's beautiful, and I love the way he looks. He's dope.
Do you think parents should tattoo their babies?
No, I'm against it.
Why?
For the same reasons I'm against circumcision.
But yet you were just giving an argument for circumcision.
I'm of the opinion that you shouldn't do it. However, if you feel you must for some kooky religious reason or because you are some kind of clean freak or whatever, then go right ahead.
So but do you feel the same way
about... I don't mess
about,
with people's kids or pets.
Do you feel the same way about some family deciding to tattoo their kids?
I'm sure they're out there. Think about all the different tribes in the world.
Sure.
The
religions used to do, or some sort of marking that's
cultural.
Permanent.
Yep.
Right, yeah.
And like by the way, they used to tattoo dogs before they chipped them.
Right. I know that in one of the schools that I went to, there was a couple of brothers from somewhere in Africa, and they had the tribal markings on their forehead. It looked like
the scars.
The scars, yeah.
Like a seal head.
Yeah, it was weird. Some of them, like one guy had like two stripes, the other guy had like four stripes.
Yeah.
Or it meant something.
Yeah.
I don't remember what, but like I've seen this, and so it's not uncommon for religions to mark theirs, quote unquote, through some sort of process.
I'd say it's cultural, not religious, but all right.
Okay. Although
they get wrapped up together.
Yeah. So is tattooing a baby a violation of the non-aggression principle?
I don't think so.
Why?
If you do it for the right reasons. If you do it for reasons
of cultural
inclusion. So now
we're talking about intent.
Yeah. Intent matters. Intent is a part of almost every crime. And that's the distinction I've come to at some point, is that removing tonsils, because you have the best of intentions when you do it, it may be useless, it may be crazy, but it's fine. Removing a foreskin may be crazy. I wouldn't make that decision, but I don't think it's a violation of the non-aggression principle.
Okay.
I'd like to reserve that for different things. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, as far as, you know, acts of aggression or child abuse go, I do think it's, I mean, I'm like right there on the cusp. I'm like, it does kind of feel a little bit like aggression, or I would not go as far to say that it's child abuse.
I will.
And as a care provider who specializes in infants, I do, you know, I like to give my clients all of the available information.
Yeah.
I don't encourage it, but I will not shame people for doing it. But I, like on social media, I will, and I try not to be shameful, but I will share my opinion.
I'm pretty sure that at least, you know, in westernized, you know, countries, that it's totally unnecessary medically.
Yeah,
I think you should teach your kid to bathe properly.
Right?
Yeah, I think so too.
And so if that's the case, then it is child abuse because it's happening. It's most common, right? It's not like, oh, it's only 10% of the kids. Okay, no, it's the most common procedure, right? It is standard operating procedure in most hospitals, right, to circumcise.
That's what it bothers me the
and
most.
So, and like, as a an advocate against child abuse, I have to have this position that here is a human being, albeit, you know, a tiny one, an undeveloped one, that is incapable of consenting to this procedure.
Now, when did he become a human being?
If
that's a fun one, too.
I mean, if you really want to go there. If the human being is unable to consent and there's no risk, there's no medical emergency to have this procedure done, then it should wait until it's able to reason and consent.
What about, like, say, a cleft palate, then? You know, many operations are done to handle cleft palates. They're going to be fine. They'll be able to consume food.
But it's not done to babies just because.
It's done to babies because a cleft palate is largely considered ugly. It's cosmetic.
Sure.
And, like, that's the thing.
But it's not something done to every, like, you have to have this condition
every
first.
Cleft palate, baby.
Right. But you have to have this condition
first. You have to have a foreskin to start. It's not done to the girls. They don't have them.
But that is not a condition, right? That is your natural state. That's how you came out of your mom's vagina. Right, you came out in that state. That is how nature made you. Right, it is not a medical condition, at least any longer. It was believed to be, but no longer is it. And that's why I advocate for no longer doing it.
My concern is that circumcisions could become a class thing. Mm-hmm. Will it has already disappeared out of the lowest class, the lower working class, and it's going out of middle class at this point too. And that it may just end up being...
So you think that there's a reduction in circumcisions in modern days?
Oh, absolutely.
Good.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think it may end up being a brand of what class you think you are or aspire to be.
Let's give this guy a couple of minutes. Squidward, you're on Free Talk Live.
It's your boy, a libertarian trapped in a rational man's body. Mr. Skeeterlot.
Some people would make a differ.
Did you say you're a libertarian stuck in a rational man's body? Is that what you said?
Trapped in a rational man's body.
Interesting.
You get the joke?
I know.
They're opposites.
Okay.
Anyway, hey, can a parent consent to citizenship for their newborn baby?
Ooh, that's a good question.
We're on that topic.
Yeah.
And when do parents stop making decisions for children? Napdards.
I think that... So I actually have solutions for this problem, is that parents don't make a decision as far as citizenship goes, other than where they have kids and things like that. So it's the government that chooses to make those decisions as far as citizenship. And I do think that there's a problem with birthright citizenship. But let me go on to when parents stop making decisions. They stop making decisions when a child starts taking care of themselves. Now, that could be, as Captain pointed out, at 12. And it could be at 35. But when somebody says, hey, you know, I'm going to stop taking you up on this free room and board that you've got, and I'm going to go take care of myself because I think your rules suck, then...
Yeah,
go ahead.
And you're not an ANCAP, right?
I don't know what... I wouldn't have taken that term at my most voluntariest. And Ian doesn't take that term either.
You take voluntariest, though?
I like voluntary interactions, but I understand that this particular primate isn't always going to make them.
Yeah. Mark can sometimes be a minarchist, too, from time to time.
Yeah, he sounds kind of like that.
That's just practical.
What happens if... is the parent the only one that can make a decision for the kid? Like, what if the kid and the parent consent to both child prostitution?
Yeah, isn't that rough? I can see why it is an ugly thing, but it's been done throughout human history. You know, the country song Fancy, if you get a chance to listen to it, is basically about, consensual prostitution. And it's very interesting.
I'd like to hear the Naptards answer some of these questions, too.
Okay.
We don't have any of those here, so you won't get any answers from any of those.
The question is that, frankly, yes, they can make those decisions but the fact is the government's going to step in. I don't get all bent out of shape over fringe cases.
Right.
You know, if the government decides to go into the fundamentalist Latter-day Saints compounds tomorrow, you may hear me talk about it. And I may say, well, look, you got to let people live the way they want, because if you don't let people live the way they want, they won't let you live the way you want.
Right.
Yeah, like, where does it end?
And, but, you know, I probably won't lose any sleep the night after next, if that's what we're talking about. I rarely
do. So, what if, like, what if the state were to change and impose a rule where you had to, where the baby has to, where only citizens can reside in the U.S.?
Or how about state-mandated circumcision? What if the federal government just said every baby born in the United States must be circumcised?
I'm more concerned with citizenship because it has more to do with...
Well, either way, it's imposed. It's not voluntary.
All right, go ahead. So what's the question?
Yeah, I forgot already.
All right, hey, thanks for the call, Skeeter. We appreciate it.
Why does every time he calls in, he, like, makes his voice, like, an octave deeper?
And he's trying to do this, like, whisper thing.
Yeah, he, like, wants to sound like Batman or something, but it's not really working. Yeah.
I'm Skeeter Man.
I am grateful for anybody who calls in and challenges my positions because it helps me to come to a new, better position each time.
I am Emmett Smith.
What's that mean?
That's an old football commercial.
Oh.
Where, like, it was like some sort of, like, anti-fraud measures on your Visa card or something. I don't know. They had the football player Emmett Smith, but then other people would be going around during the commercial going, I'm Emmett Smith. No, I'm Emmett Smith.
Yeah, I did see that, yeah. Actually. Well, call me Ishmael.
No.
Okay.
Your name's Mark.
It's a reference to Moby Dick. There you go.
Why would I call you Ishmael?
Because that was his name, the fictional character.
Did I ruin a joke or
on
something?
On the whaler, Pequot.
Did.
Yeah, okay. Sorry. I'm not too quick on Sundays.
If you're going to just make bizarre cultural references, me too.
But you know, there's always like that one part, like Captain says something like that, and there's like those like few people that are listening that are like, like, I get it.
There's an age group, and I just figured Mark was in that age group that he'd remember that commercial.
I did. Now that after you explained the whole commercial to me,
it's not funny if I have to explain it.
Well, I've had memory issues from COVID. The Federal Bureau of Investigations gave me COVID.
And I forgot about that when I told the joke. So. the irony is double. Well,
the joke is funny whether I get it or not. Or not funny. Live radio, man. You're going to have some stinkers. You're going to have some good ones. You just got to do what you got to do.
603-283-6160. More of your calls to come still on this edition of Free Talk Live. I think we've talked about Alice Cooper already. We've got more in store, including a yoga class mistaken for a mass killing. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
It's obvious. The unthinkable is going to happen soon. With all the distractions in the media, we probably won't see it coming. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Those in charge say everything's fine. Stop noticing. But you know better. American families are preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Order by 3 p.m., and your items ship the same day. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.